Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve, Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crimes. Greetings, everyone. I'm Ruth Fairfax Frazier, founder and executive director of FACT, Forum to Achieve Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with Building Community, Strengthening Nations, here on Chris Radio. Our co-host is
Marshall Matthews. I'm one of the board members of the FACT organization, and we have been enjoying this radio program now for, how many years is it now?
11 years here on Chris Radio. And we have a very esteemed guest joining us today.
Yes, our guest today is someone who has invested his life in recent lifetime working with those who have children who are autistic and has become an executive director. And we are so glad to have Mr. Matthew Asner with us. You might recognize that last name from his father, but Matthew has established himself on his own as a leader, not only in entertainment, but also a leading advocate for our children. Welcome to our program.
I'm glad to be here.
Matt, can you tell us more about your background?
Sure. Well, I started out in entertainment. I was a producer and director for about a little over 20 years. I had my own company and was regularly producing and directing television in Los Angeles and elsewhere. And my brother is on the spectrum, so that was the first view of autism that I had, and then about 10 years after my brother was diagnosed, he's a lot younger than I am, about 10 years after my brother, my son was diagnosed, and I am the proud father of three kids on the spectrum, and we have a house full of children, and we have six children altogether, three of them on the spectrum.
Wow. So, okay, six children?
When my son Will was diagnosed, I made the decision to change my life and to advocate and see what I could do to change the world for my son and my sons and people like them.
Well, Matt, we want you to back up just a little bit because you mentioned you had a brother on the spectrum. Tell us about family life. Who is your dad? And you had a very unique upbringing.
Well, I did. I grew up basically in Hollywood. My dad's Ed Asner. I grew up basically on the set of Mary Tyler Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And that set, the Radford set in Studio City. And it was an amazing childhood. I would run around that set. He would bring me to the set, and I would play on the Gilligan's in the Gilligan's Island Lagoon, and Gunsmoke had just finished shooting, and there was an old Western set that was pretty much a dead set. No one ever used it, so it became my playground with my friends. So it was a fun, exciting childhood with lots of mischief and lots of fun. My brother is a lot younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost 30. He'll be 30 in August.
Okay.
And so when I actually remember the day my father called me, we always knew there was something going on with Charlie. He was kind of a wild man. He was always running, climbing every tree, just constantly going.
Mm-hmm.
And exhibited some of the telltale signs of autism. And but we didn't know what autism was. The only thing, it's interesting. Autism is such an interesting thing because when you think about autism, when anyone thinks about autism, they think of their last recall. So for me, my last recall when I heard my brother who was diagnosed with autism was Rain Man.
Okay.
So I immediately thought of Rain Man. And being the young adult that I was, I thought, well, when he's old enough, I'm going to take him to Vegas and we're going to make a lot of money. But very quickly, I realized that that's not autism, and it's very different, and it's a serious situation, and it takes a lot of love and care and responsibility. My dad and his stepmother, Charlie's stepmother, really did a great job in preparing him for life.
Wonderful. Now, what were some of the tell signs for your own son? How did you recognize it?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. We have three children in our house with autism. I was there for the diagnosis of one of them because one of them is my biological son.
Okay.
When Will was diagnosed, we knew something was going on with Will at a very early age, probably about, about a year old, maybe a little less than a year old. There was the lack of eye contact, absolutely no speech, and we just could tell there was something going on. And we would go to the doctor, and I would say to the doctor, there's something going on here. And the doctor would say, no, it's don't worry about it. He's fine. Finally, I just knew that I had to do something. So I went and had him screened and got a diagnosis of autism.
Okay.
And so that's the story. We got the diagnosis of autism quite late. It was he was probably about 5 years old when we got it.
So you saw the symptoms early on, but it took till 5 years old for a doctor to actually get a diagnosis.
Yes, it did take about that long to get a diagnosis. He was receiving services as early as 18 months,
mm-hmm.
but we did not have a true diagnosis until he was about 5 years old, a little under five.
Right.
And he was very limited speech-wise until he was about 5 years old.
Okay. Well, Matt, you are associated with one of the premier organizations on autism, the longest standing organization giving information to people around the world, but especially here in the United States. And your story is very typical for what people experience. My own son, who is a little bit older than yours, was not diagnosed right away. In fact, at 18 months, his pediatrician referred him to a neurologist for the hyperactivity. And even though we uh-huh. knew that there was much more than just him being hyperactive and ADHD, they were very reluctant to diagnose it as autism or basically anything else. They were saying it's typical for toddlers to have delays in one area or another. But through a little persistence, having older children, I insisted that we start him in different types of therapies. So at age 2, he began speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and behavioral modification. And it still took a few more years before the so-called label of autism was diagnosed, even though he was classically autistic and not even pulling together sentences until he was maybe 8 or 9 years old.
Right. Well, yeah. I'll tell you, Ruth, I think a parent's persistence is everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you have a, you know, if for any parent out there who is going through a diagnosis, I would say, or is worried that their child might be exhibiting the signs of autism, I would say be persistent.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take your doctor's word for it. Get a second opinion. Make sure you cover all the bases. Because the sooner you start a child in therapy, the better it's going to be for that child.
Right. Well, tell us more about what you do with the Autism Society. I understand that your current position is Vice President of Development at the national level, but you've also has been associated with your affiliate in California. Give us that background.
Well, I've been in the autism community here in Southern California for about 8 years now, as a volunteer and as an employee of another organization. And I joined Autism Society about 10 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm extremely proud to be here. I think it's an organization that has a lot of heart. And, you know, it's really honestly driven by heart. We have just over 90 affiliates throughout the country. And what's interesting about Autism Society is we really are the boots on the ground in terms of, you know, resources and advocacy. We're out there in the community advocating. And the great thing, one of the great things about Autism Society is that we, each of our affiliates is kind of focusing on areas that each community, you know, really needs to focus on. So
mm-hmm.
you'll find our affiliate in San Francisco is their main focus is a little different than the affiliate in Los Angeles
mm-hmm.
or the affiliate in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very important ingredient to the type of organization we are, because we are, I honestly think we are the people's organization.
And I see that throughout the year and throughout this country, really, there has been an emphasis on police working better with communities, better understanding the communities that they're serving. And I understand there's a law that you guys are being advocates for to help law enforcement.
Yes, it's Kevin and Avante's law. And basically, you know, look, the most important thing for any first responder is that they get training on what autism is, because autism, for the most part, is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see someone exhibiting the signs of autism, they can always be mistaken, if a person is not educated in autism, for something else. And that could actually turn into a very dangerous situation for that individual. So it's extremely important that our first responders are educated and are trained, and that there is a plan of action, you know, when a child goes missing, when a child elopes, that there's a plan put in place for each department, so they can act and they can maybe save a life. It's a very important law, and so we're one of the big pushes this year is to promote the passage of Kevin and Avante's law.
Now, is this a law that calls for the local communities to invest their money, or does this law come with funding? Many of our communities want to do programs like this, but they always claim we don't have enough money to train our police officers like that.
Now, the law would be to provide funding.
Okay.
For law enforcement training to reduce elopement incidents involving people with autism and other disabilities.
That's excellent, to remove that one barrier that, you know, most police departments say that they don't have enough money for training. But it's important, Chicagoland, that we understand that training about autism is something that everyone should have at some point, who's working with children and who's working interactively with other adults, so that you can see these signs and not only see them, but help them. Because in a lot of cases, people have still been not diagnosed or misdiagnosed over the years. And We need to get our hands around this situation so that people can get the proper treatment and they can live the proper lives in our community and contribute to the greater good of the community.
Exactly. And like I said before in our conversation, autism is all about, is about recall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do you know with autism? That's what autism is. But the really interesting thing about autism is that it's really different for everyone.
Yes.
You know, everyone that has autism has a different, you know, they have different aspects to their autism.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely different from each person.
And that's, you know, my own personal experience is I'm living through it right now with my grandson, and I'm trying to get the doctors to at least consider it because he has not spoken. He's two now, and still has not been able to form any words other than mom. And we're just trying to get him to be evaluated on that level. And most doctors say, oh, it's just a socialization issue. It might be, but in that socialization spectrum, the spectrum of autism is socialization. So people have to begin to reach outside of their selves and understand that there are various forms of autism, correct?
Correct. Correct. Each case of autism is different.
Mm-hmm. Now, understand that you're also advocating for long-term care legislation. What type? Could you explain that?
Well, one of the things we're trying to do is provide relief to family caregivers by supporting legislation to create public and private partnerships to evaluate a national strategy and ease financial burdens through implementation of tax credits.
Mm.
You know, it costs a family an average of $50,000 a year when they have a child diagnosed with autism, and that's something that that we want to help the families get through.
Mm.
You know, so it's a very, very important thing that we do, that we try to pass legislation to ease that burden on a family.
Well, Matt, you know, in addition to those two objectives that the Autism Society is working on, understand that you're also working to fully fund IDEA. Can you explain what that entails and what is IDEA?
Yes. Well, before we get to that, I just want to add one thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're in a little bit of a situation here where there's a lot of talk about there's a new law being proposed. The healthcare law that's being proposed is going to have massive cuts to Medicaid, Social Security, and Social Security disability benefits.
Yes.
and so we are tirelessly advocating and talking about this issue, and we urge everyone listening to call their leaders and to say, we need to be represented.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't be left out in the cold. It would be a disastrous for these cuts to happen for our family.
Yes,
indeed. And we need to be very loud in advocating, you know, for us, for people who are living in a family with disabilities that we are advocated for in our leadership.
Mm.
So it's extremely important that we all pay attention to this, and that we not let something like the healthcare bill that's currently being proposed happen, because the cuts to Medicaid, Social Security, and Social Security disability benefits will be devastating to our community.
Right. And, you know, that reaches across all economic groups, all racial, religious, everything that you can imagine. Everyone
right.
will be touched by this legislation. And it is very important that we be in the forefront of trying to make a difference in how these laws are shaped for our country. I want to direct everyone to please go to www.autism-society.org and visit the website there, because many of these legislative initiatives, as well as everything you can imagine of information regarding autism, is on the website.
And again, Chicagoland, I'd like to also remind you that, you know, when we're talking about, when you get into this debate about funding and things being cut, a lot of people are debating about a tax credit as opposed to giving funding. And they're saying, oh, we're giving tax credits. Well, the key part about that is you have to be able to afford it in the first place to get the credit on the back end. So that's what a major part of our fight must be, is that we must maintain where we are, if not expand, because we want to make sure that we're being inclusive and that we're taking care of those in our society who need to be treated, who need to be helped. It's not all about our bank accounts. It's about taking care of others in love.
Exactly. And you know, Ruth mentioned IDEA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, IDEA is a federal law that ensures that assures that every child with a disability obtains a free and appropriate public education. And even that is being threatened. We need to make sure that, you know, every child is able to have an appropriate education.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're allowed to thrive. We want all children to thrive. And children with disabilities need to be able to have that opportunity to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to help everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just helping the child and the school. It's helping everyone. It's helping our society. Don't we want a society where people can thrive regardless of what different abilities?
Right.
We want to make sure that every child can thrive in our society. And that's going to help us. That's going to help us immeasurably as a society moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. And again, it's about education. It's not about, no, what it costs. It costs us more not to educate our children, to try to isolate them and put them on an island. It costs us more to do that than to be inclusive. And our communities have to be more inclusive. And that's what we're talking about in legislation like IDEA, is that it's about treating our children as a part of the whole instead of cutting them out because they have a disability. Because we all gain more when we get around people who are differently abled than us.
I agree. And I think somewhere down the line, we started thinking about, in this country, about education as a business.
Yes.
And we need to get back to thinking about it as an investment in our society. Because that's what it is. It's an investment in our society. And our future.
And Autism Society, you know, is actually the nation's leading grassroots autism organization, and it exists to improve the lives of all affected by autism. And that's why they take the lead on anything and everything affecting our children as well as they move into adulthood. What resources are available for them? And again, I'd like to refer everyone to the website, which is www.autism-society.org. Autism-society.org. It's an excellent website, and we want you to be informed of what's happening around the country. Matt has mentioned that there are 90 affiliates, and all of them will emphasize what is being driven by their communities as far as needs. And speaking of AutismSociety.org, there is a 49th annual conference coming up, Matt. Can you tell us about that?
I can. It's in Milwaukee. It's our, like you said, it's our 49th annual conference, and it's being held on July 12th through the 15th. And this year's conference is going to offer 88 sessions to choose from, ranging across every stage of life and presented by experts from across the country. And the conference will focus on improving the quality of life for those affected by autism through 15 quality of life outcomes. So, we're going to have some incredible keynotes. John Robison is giving a keynote. Ruth, I believe you're speaking, are you not?
I will be part of a panel, and that is of parents. Panel of Parents is moderated by Judy Indall, author of Painted Words, Aspects of Autism Translated. My son, Darius Frazier, will be part of a panel of self-advocates, moderated by Dr. Barry Prezant, author of Uniquely Human. And of course, as you mentioned, there's going to be a panel of autism Professionals, moderated by Stephen Shore, author of
right.
Beyond the Wall, Personal Experiences with Autism and Asperger Syndrome. And the Saturday closing keynote is John Elder Robinson. He is an adult with autism, and he's the author of four books, Switched On, Raising Cubby, Look Me in the Eye, and Be Different.
Yep. And if you have not seen these people speak, they are all brilliant. Mm-hmm. And they will all give you an incredible insight into your loved ones or your friends or autism in general. And I urge everyone, if you have an interest in autism, to come to the conference on the 12th through the 15th and see for yourself how incredible these people are. You will learn things that you never knew. You'll meet people, important people. You'll learn about resources. And it's a great way of learning what's out there and what's important in autism. One of my favorite things going to happen is we're going to have a walk around with Julia from Sesame Street.
Oh.
Who my youngest is very excited about that. It's not going to be the conference, but I'm going to make sure I take my picture with Julia.
Okay.
She's going to really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And that was my son's question for you. What is going to be your favorite aspect of this year's conference? Because there's sessions going on in addition to the keynotes. So every aspect of the outcomes that you would like to see for people you know on the spectrum is going to be addressed at this conference. And it's being held in Wisconsin.
That's right, Milwaukee.
Okay. So it is going to be held at the Wisconsin Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And
we're bringing the program to a close. Again, we'd like to thank Mr. Asner for his community involvement, for how he took a situation that could have been devastating to his family, but instead turned it into an opportunity to serve the people across not just his family, but the community, and now nationwide. And we thank you, Mr. Asner, for taking that bullet type of approach that someone had to pick it up, and I'm glad that you did pick it up.
And we just have a minute or so left, Matt. What would you like to leave with our audience?
Well, you know, I just want to say this. I want to say one of the interesting things about the autism community is that, you know, a lot of people look into the autism community and see a splintered community, see a community of one side self-advocates, one side parents that are concerned. There are differently abled people in the autism community. Some are a little more affected than others. Some are have a little bit more of a disability than others. And I think it's really important for all of us to look at this as a collective unit and to say, we're all right. You know, everyone's experience is their own. We're all going through this together. Whatever degree you want to go through it, or whatever degree you're going through it, it is your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to take that away from anyone, and no one should ever want to take that away from anyone either. And so I think it's important that we all think together and we move forward together. Because if we move forward together, you know, we will truly change the outcome of everyone's life. And that's what we really want, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And Chicagoland, we want to once again thank our very special esteemed guest,
Mr. Matthew Asner, and we'd like to thank you for listening to our program tonight. We look forward to next week when, again, we are building community, strengthening nations, the FACT organization. Thank you and good night.
Bye now.